grateful, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to be here and to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I pray to those of you who are listening to bless me that I may be able to speak something that will inspire us to follow even more strictly in our Krishna consciousness. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tatojayam Udirayet. Mastaprayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Ritamashloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Iti Murtya Vidanena. Mantra Murtim Amurtikam. Yajate Yajna Purusham. Sasam Yakarshanah Puman. Iti Murtya Vidanena. Mantra Murtim Amurtikam. Yajate Yajna Purusham. Sasamyak Darshanah Puman. Iti Murtya Vidanena. Mantra Murtim Amurtikam. Yajate Yajna Purusham. Sasamyak Darshanah Puman.
Iti Murtya Vidanena.
Iti Murtya Vidanena.
Mantra Murtim Amurtikam.
Mantra Murtim Amurtikam.
Yajate Yajna Purusham.
Yajate Yajna Purusham.
Sasammadarshana Puman.
Sasammadarshana Puman.
I just wanted to say something that our recording system is by the time they want to, we ask them if they want to give a comment or feedback or reflection or question. It actually takes a minute by the time they hear it. Mm-hmm. So before you stop it for the question answer, maybe you can give a little time. Okay. And also to the audience, those who are listening, you can text me or write it on the chat room. If you have the question before the class finishes, you can send it. It doesn't have to wait for the last minute. Thank you.
Thank you. Iti. Thus. Murti. Representation. Representation. Avidanena. In sound. Mantra Murtim, form representation of transcendental sound.
Form representation of transcendental sound.
Amurtikam, the Lord who has no material form.
The Lord who has no material form.
Yajate,
worship.
Yajna,
Vishnu.
Purusham, the personality of Godhead. Saha,
he alone.
Samyak,
perfectly.
Darshanaha,
one who has seen.
Puman,
person.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thus, he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who has no material form. Please repeat. Thus, he is the actual seer.
Thus, he is the actual seer.
Who worships. In the form of transcendental sound representation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vishnu.
Who has no material form. Purport. Our present senses are all made of material elements, and therefore they are imperfect in realizing the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu. He is therefore worshipped by sound representation via the transcendental method of chanting. Anything which is beyond the scope of experience by our imperfect senses can be realized fully by the sound representation. A person transmitting sound from a far distant place can be factually experienced, just like now. If this is materially possible, why not spiritually? This experience is not a vague, impersonal experience. It is actually an experience of the transcendental personality of Godhead, who possesses the pure form of eternal bliss and knowledge. In the Amarkosh Sanskrit dictionary, the word murti carries import in twofold meanings, namely form and difficulty. Therefore, a murtikam is explained by Acharya Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as meaning without difficulty. The transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original spiritual senses, which can be revived by chanting of the holy mantras or transcendental sound representations. Such sound should be received from the transparent agency of the bona fide spiritual master, and the chanting may be practiced by the direction of the spiritual master. That will gradually lead us nearer to the Lord. This method of worship is recommended in the Pancharatrika system, which is both recognized and authorized. The Pancharatrika system has the most authorized codes for transcendental devotional service. Without the help of such codes, one cannot approach the Lord, certainly not by dry philosophical speculation. The Pancharatrika system is both practical and suitable for this age of quarrel. The Pancharatra is more important than the Vedanta for this modern age. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pucharine Nirvishesha Srinivani Pashakale Shakarine Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thus he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. In the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada mentions that we have imperfect senses, and because of this we are unable to realize the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu. And as we know, the living entity comes into this world with the four defects. We make mistakes, we have the propensity to cheat, we're subject to illusion, and as was mentioned in the purport, we have imperfect senses. Krishna is known as Adhokshaja, which means that he is beyond the material senses and he cannot be perceived by those. So in order to be able to perceive Krishna, we have to become purified. We have to purify those senses. Prabhupada says, via the transcendental method of chanting, anything which is beyond the scope of experience, our imperfect senses can be realized fully by the sound representation. So this sound representation, we know, is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because Krishna makes himself available in that form, and he is actually present in the chanting. And there are some who sometimes say that the Hare Krishna Mantra is something new because it's not specifically in the Bhagavatam. Of course, it's in Prabhupada's purports. But some people think that besides that, it must be coming from it's something new. There's one pastime, actually, and this is from the Kali Santarana Upanishad, where Lord Brahma, or Lord Narada Muni, actually, he approaches Lord Brahma. This is at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, and he asks him, you know, okay, Kali Yuga is coming. What can I do now to be able to swim across this ocean known as Kali Yuga? And Lord Brahma says, your words will benefit all mankind. Listen to the essential secret of the Vedic scriptures, which is concealed like a treasure. By uncovering this knowledge, one can swim across material existence during Kali Yuga. So he knows that Narada Muni he's a preacher. He will go out and he will preach and share with others. So he gives him this mantra that he can share in order to help others be able to get through Kali Yuga, which at that point was coming up. He says, simply by chanting the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, the sole proprietor of all, one's sins can be eradicated in Kali Yuga. And then Narada Muni asks, well, which names should I chant? And Lord Brahma says, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then next would be that verse that we know very well, many people, Iti Soda Shakam Nam Nam Kali Kalma Sanasanam Natha Parataropaya Sarva Vede Shudrushyate. In this way, the collection of 16 names is the only destroyer of sins in Kali Yuga. No other remedy can be found in any part of the Vedic literature. So then the conversation continues. Lord Brahma says that this is the only way that Lord Krishna will shine before the jiva like the rays of the sun when a cloud is removed. I thought that was very beautiful. He will shine before the jiva like the rays of the sun when a cloud is removed. So this is what we have to look forward to when we perfect our chanting. So Narada says, is there a proper procedure for this chanting? And Lord Brahma immediately says, there's no set procedure for chanting this Maha Mantra. A seeker of the truth can chant, whether pure or impure. Liberation still awaits him. So just like Prabhupada says, even a child can take part, even a dog can take part. Anyone can chant. The chanting is open to everyone. Then further, Lord Brahma says, when one chants this Maha Mantra of 16 names, 3.5 crore times, so that's 35 million times, then Chaitanya Charanprabhu, that's where I got this from, his spiritual scientist website, he says that 35 million times means about 55.5 years of chanting. So I think there are probably some Prabhupada disciples who are, if not there, they're close to that, at least in number, 55.5 years of chanting. So then Lord Brahma says, after chanting that much, of course, chanting properly, he absolves himself from the killing of a Brahmin, assassination of a warrior, stealing gold, or committing harmful deeds to forefathers or other human beings. By chanting the Maha Mantra, one immediately becomes purified, attaining release from sins caused by neglecting other religious duties. This is the teaching of the Upanishad. So that's there. And then you might be wondering, well, why is it when Lord Brahma gave the verse, he said Hare Rama first? Because to us, that sounds little backwards, because we're used to saying Hare Krishna first and then Hare Rama is the second part. But this mantra was originally a Vedic mantra, and the Vedic mantras are only to be chanted by Brahmanas. And Lord Chaitanya, in his infinite mercy, he understood that in Kali Yuga there wouldn't be any Brahmanas who would be qualified to chant that particular Vedic mantra. So what he did was he switched it around, and he changed it so that we chant the Hare Krishna first, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he changed it so that we chant Hare Krishna first, and then in this way, it's not a Vedic mantra that can't be chanted by Brahmins, but it doesn't. But the potency is still the same. So this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like we're going to be hearing so much in the next couple of days about Lord Nrisimhadeva, and we'll hear about how Lord Nrisimhadeva, he could have killed Hiranyakashipu in any way that he wanted, but he did not kind of cross any of the boons that Lord Brahma had given to Hiranyakashipu. So he still killed him anyway, but without, you know, making Lord Brahma look bad in any way. So getting back to the purport, in the next paragraph, Prabhupada says, and he gives the definition of murti. He says it has two meanings, form and difficulty. And amurtikam, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, means without difficulty. So this chanting can be done without difficulty. And sometimes when we are out distributing books, we will, at the end, we ask people, we invite them to chant, and we'll say, do you believe in the power of prayer? And it's interesting, the different reactions. Sometimes they'll say yes, and then we teach them the mantra. Sometimes they say no, and then we say, okay, then I'll give you a mantra instead. Still the same thing. And we teach them the mantra. Sometimes when we're teaching them the mantra, we'll say, okay, repeat after me, Hare. And then some people immediately say, wait a minute, what does this mean? What does this mean? And they're even a little fearful. And it's almost as if they're fearful because they have the understanding of that. something, or they're afraid anyway, that something is going to be taken away. They're going to lose something, you know, if they chant this mantra. And in actuality, they are going to lose something, because when we chant, one way to think about it is we're saying, take it away, take it away, take it away. We want to lose something. We want Krishna to take away. And what do we want him to take away? We want him to take away our anarthas, our impurities. We want him to take away anything that is keeping us apart from him. There's one lecture where Prabhupada was answering questions, and one of the guests said, well, if I join this movement, what do I have to give up? And I was thinking he was going to say something about, you know, the four regulative principles. Well, Prabhupada said, the conception that you are this, the conception that I am this body. So I thought that was really amazing. He always knows, you know, what to say at what time. So she asked, I'll say it again, what do I need to give up? And he said, the conception that I am this body. So this is what we, this is why we chant. We want to get rid of that idea of thinking that this body is who I am. And even though we hear it, it's pretty almost like the first thing that we hear when a devotee starts preaching to us or when we start reading. But it takes time and it takes effort and practice to really realize and understand and behave fully on that platform. Another way we can think of chanting that I've heard is you can think, because sometimes people ask, you know, what the mantra means, and we can say different things without changing the actual meaning. So another way is to say that it means, please help me. We're asking God, please help me, please help me, please help me. So when we're chanting, this is a nice meditation also, to chant in the mood that we're begging Krishna. Oh, Krishna, I have so many faults and flaws and you know, I have all of these four defects. Please, please help me. Please help me get rid of those so that I can surrender to you fully. So we can think like that when we are chanting. Another point that's mentioned in the verse is that Prabhupada says, or in the purport, sorry, Prabhupada says, such chanting should be received from the transparent agency of the bona fide spiritual master, and the chanting may be practiced by the direction of the spiritual master. So we have to chant under the guidance and instruction of a spiritual master. It's necessary because this is the way that Krishna wants us to do it, and this is what we need, because we cannot speculate. We need instruction and guidance. Sometimes you'll see that people like to chant. They enjoy the chanting of the mantra. Like there was a video a few years back going around, and I saw that there was a group, and they were kind of doing some ballroom dancing, like waltzing. They're waltzing to the Maha Mantra. And so it was kind of interesting to see. It was definitely different. And of course, those people, they will make some benefit just by chanting. But they wouldn't get full benefit if, when they leave that chanting, then, you know, you have to think, well, what are they hearing? What kind of instruction are they getting? Is there any purification happening? Any more effort being made as far as learning how to chant properly? So if that isn't there, then the advancement would be less. It's not the same. And you might say, well, if I'm chanting the mantra and Krishna's in the mantra, so why can't I just chant and make advancement like that? But Krishna is a person, and Krishna, so he has the right to reveal himself to who he chooses to reveal himself to. It's not a mechanical process that just because I chant, Krishna has to show himself to me. It doesn't work that way. So the instruction is definitely necessary, and there are, of course, the guidelines that we have to follow. There's the verse, Atat Shri Krishna Namadi Na Vavegraya Mindriyai Seva Mukhe Hijivadao Swayam Eva Spuratyadaha. So Srila Rupa Goswami tells us that we cannot experience Krishna with our blunt senses. We have to purify the senses, beginning with the tongue. And the two ways to purify the tongue are by the chanting of the holy name in the proper way, and also by strictly honoring Krishna Prasadam. And the honoring Krishna Prasadam, it's actually, if you think about it in this way, that, you know, I only eat what my master eats, or I only eat whatever my master leaves. And then there's like a loving reciprocation. There's like a loving feeling that can come from that. That all the only thing I'm going to put into my body is whatever, you know, Krishna leaves for me, because I'm not interested in anything else. So this is a nice way to think about honoring prasada. And then one of the last points mentioned, Prabhupada mentions the Pancharatrika system, how it's both recognized and authorized, and it has the most authorized codes for transcendental devotional service. Without the help of such codes, one cannot approach the Lord, certainly not by dry philosophical speculation. So this Pancharatri actually means Pancha is five, and Ratri is night. So Pancharatri is five nights. And Lord Krishna spoke the Vedas to Brahma. But one night Brahma lay down to sleep. And in his sleep, the two demons, Madhu and Kaitava, they came and they stole the Vedas, or the Vedic knowledge, from his mind while he was sleeping. So when Lord Brahma realized what happened, he went to Krishna and he asked him, because he didn't know how much time he had left, he asked him, would you please give me those Vedas, the Vedas again, but just give me the kind of like the summary, you know, the brief version. And so Krishna did that, and it took five nights. So this is the Pancharatrika. And there are many, actually there are hundreds of Pancharatris, but the one that is prominent in our line is that of Srila Narada Muni. And Narada Muni gives us instructions on how to worship the deity and how we can become purified so that the chanting that we're doing is is actually potent, or more potent. There's one lecture where Prabhupada was explaining the Pancharatrika Marg and the Bhagavat Marg. And he said that the Bhagavat Marg consists of three of the nine processes of devotional service, which is Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam. Hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, and remembering Krishna. And so those three alone actually are potent enough to where we don't need to do anything else. We could, if we were in the right frame of mind, we could just do those because they're very potent. And they're enough for to become qualified. But the problem is that in this age, we're not able to do those three in the proper way. So we need the Pancharatri, which would be the other parts, also the other methods of devotional service, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, Dasyam. We need those in order to help us to become purified so that we can do the others in the proper way. So it's a twofold, or a two, what can I say, the both things run parallel because they help each other. So in other words, we have to do we have to do all of those, or at least try to do as many of those as possible to the best of our ability. And again, it's something, another thing that Prabhupada mentioned was that those codes, they have to come from the spiritual master. So again, it's not something that we just step into without any guidance. There's the example, because the fruit is not the same. There's the example of the banyan tree, which it drops its seeds, but the seeds don't fructify immediately. First, there are some sparrows that live around the tree, and they have to eat the seeds, and then they digest the seeds, and something about the digestive enzymes that makes it so that when they pass the seeds out, then they fructify and grow. So in that way, we have to receive the mantra and the codes and the guidance. We have to receive that from the spiritual master, and then the spiritual master, and then because we've gone through that route, then we're able to grow and blossom in our devotional service. Yeah, so the Pancharatrika helps us to become regulated and more bring us to the platform of the mode of goodness. So one thing that's happening now that's a little kind of a difficulty is, so part of the Pancharatrika is that, you know, we come to the temple and we take darshan, we come and we see the deities. And now we're in a position to where we cannot do that. So then the question is, what should we do? How do we still honor that? So one thing, I mean, there's many ways, and we've been hearing from many of the previous speakers different things that we can do, and we hear from Mother Mukhya also regularly things that we can do at home. And another thing, so I didn't want to repeat all of those things, but another thing is to think that remembering that darshan doesn't mean I'm seeing Krishna, it means Krishna is seeing me. So I come and I stand before Krishna so that he can see me. So now, or he sees my interests, he sees that I'm interested in him because I'm here. But now, I cannot come, so then I need to be in the mindset that darshan is everywhere, meaning that Krishna is seeing me all over, not just here, he's seeing me everywhere. So then the question is, what do I want him to see me doing? What do I want Krishna to see me doing now that I'm not here? How am I using my time in Krishna consciousness? How am I using my time, basically? And there's many things that we can do. Everyone's situation might be slightly different. Some people are still working. Many people are working at home, like myself. Some people are not working at all, and maybe they're in some anxiety. Some people are working even more than they did before. So whatever the situation is, we have to still make pursuing our Krishna consciousness our priority, and looking to see, okay, what can I do now? How can I show Krishna? Because now he's seeing me everywhere. He's watching me. What can I do to show him that I'm still very interested in making that connection with him? And I'd just like to end with this thought. My time belongs to Krishna. If I use it fully in his service, I will achieve the happiness I am looking for. I'll say it again. My time belongs to Krishna. If I use it fully in his service, I will achieve the happiness I am looking for. One more time. My time belongs to Krishna. If I use it fully in his service, I will achieve the happiness I am looking for. So just to review, we spoke about the imperfect senses and how we have the four defects and how we can purify our senses. We spoke about the chanting and how Lord Brahma gave the mantra to Narada Muni and how Lord Chaitanya changed it and why he changed it around. And we spoke about the importance of chanting or performing devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master. We spoke about the Pancharatrika and how it originated and why it needs to be performed along with the Bhagavad Mala. And I think I will end there, and I thank you for your attention. If there are any questions and comments.
Thank you for the wonderful details you have given. Can you share where you got the story of Lord Brahma giving the Hare Rama, Hare Krishna mantra to Narada?
Yeah.
And the Baba.
Yeah, that's actually my son found that for me. It's on Chaitanya Charan Prabhu's website, The Spiritual Scientist, and it comes from the. Kali Santarana Upanishad. So it's there, and then he gives some commentary also.
Just to mention that if somebody goes to Kali Santarana Upanishad, they will not see this. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I did some research before.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Jiva Goswami's time.
Mm-hmm.
They actually changed as Mahaprabhu directed. They change it.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody goes to Kali Santarana Upanishad now, they will not see Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Oh.
They will see Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your wonderful class. Thank you for the take it away, meaning of chanting the Maha Mantra. Okay, more question. Dina Dwarka, Nila Devidasi, beautiful class, Ekadasi, thank you. And I have written down the definition of darshan, appreciate us. Madam Madhumati, thank you Ekadasi Guru for giving such a profound meditation. Mother Supada, thank you, Ekadasi. I like how you repeated the prayers 3 times. Srila Prabhupada often repeated essentially for 3 times for emphasis. Let's see if there's another question.
Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
recording yet. So it says, can you please explain the analogy of Guru digesting the seed and giving to us?
Well, just with the understanding that when we might, for example, read something and think that and have a certain understanding of something that we've read. This is an example. And because we are in maybe a certain stage, a level of our devotional service, we don't have the full understanding of that specific thing that we read or that specific instruction. So it is important to have the guidance of the spiritual master, because the spiritual master is on a different platform, and he has full understanding of the scriptures and how to interpret and understand the process. And so in other words, so that's the understanding, that he's digested it, so then he's able to he's empowered to give us that knowledge and to explain it for us. Another thing about the imperfect senses related to that is that Prabhupada was saying that's why we have to approach a bona fide spiritual master, because the bona fide spiritual master has perfect senses, and the reason he's the perfect person is because he's repeating the perfect message. He's repeating the message in the same way. He's not making any change in the message. So that makes him the bona fide and perfect person from which we can receive the message and understand it. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's good. One more. Maybe you can send me that Chaitanya Charitamrita's email. I'll post it there, so
okay.
Because there will be more questions. People like listen later. They come.
Okay.
I just thank you, Mother. What's wonderful.